Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you here this morning. As Pastor Lou mentioned, my name is Pastor Andrew. I've recently started a church in Mastic Beach. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Some people aren't, but it's on the South Shore, 58 or 68, depending on Sunrise or LIE. But I just wanted to start, as I shared with the group this morning, I'm extremely, extremely thankful for Three Village Church, and I really mean that. When I was reaching out to different churches and pastors to share the vision of what God had placed on my life, Three Village was one of the first to get back, Pastor Josh and Pastor Lou, and took time to really sit down with me and hear what I had to share, and not just that, but really, really believed in what God was doing in Mastic Beach. I'm really thankful that there are churches on Long Island that are kingdom-minded, not just worried about their own ministry, and this is certainly one of them. You have tremendous leaders here, and I can't thank you enough. We definitely would not be where we are without your guys' support in a lot of different ways. And I want you to know that there's really awesome things happening out of Mastic Beach. It's an area, as I said, it has a number of issues. I can say that because I'm from there. And so your guys' support and being a part of that, I want you to just know you're part of something really special. And the kingdom of God is moving there, and people's lives are being changed and touched, and they're coming to know Jesus Christ. So thank you. Thank you so much for that. And I consider it a great, great joy and honor to be here with you this morning to share the word. Pastor Lou's given me the freedom to break out of the series and share what's on my heart. So I want to share with you today what's entitled Come Out of Hiding. Come out of hiding, and ultimately what I want to get into, and maybe for some it's a reminder, I don't believe this is an overly complex message, but I believe it's so, so important. I want to talk to you today about the transformative power of community, meaning the necessity for each and every one of us, not just to be in this community, but to actually open up, live in transparency, honesty with one another. It's one of the great things that Jesus has purchased for us, because our identity is rooted in Him, so we can share what's going on in our life, knowing that's not what defines us anymore. And there's great healing that takes place when we begin to live that way. So can I just pray, and then we're going to jump into the Word. Lord, I thank you for this great privilege to be here. I thank you for the body that is so diverse. Lord, I pray you'd help us to never forget it's bigger than the church we attend. And I thank you for what you're doing on Long Island. And I ask God first a blessing on Three Village. I pray, God, that you would just continue to expand their influence in this area and on Long Island. And God, I ask right now that you would come and anoint me, God, to speak your word. I pray, God, that by your spirit you would just begin to draw people. God, that you'd begin to open our eyes to things. God, you would convict us, challenge us, comfort us. God, I ask that ultimately we would come to just see you in all of your glory and your majesty. God, I pray that we would see you just a little bit in a greater revelation than when we came in, Lord. I just ask right now, God, that most of all, people will just leave this place, God, deeper in love with you. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, before we jump in the text, let me just share a few things just to kind of lay the groundwork. This is something that's really dear to my heart. I don't have time to share my whole testimony, but I have a background of extreme highs and extreme lows, getting all the way to the point where I had to go away for a year for addiction and almost lost my family, life, and everything in it. And the reason why I just share that is because when I was in these extreme highs, what appeared to be highs, the truth is that I was deeply wounded and hurting on the inside, and I felt like I couldn't share what was really going on in my life because I was afraid, really pride, of what people would think. And there's a lot that goes into it, but what God has shown me over the years is how important it is, and the privilege that we can do this now because of Christ, to live in open community and actually talk about what's going on in our life and live in transparency and come out of hiddenness and secrecy. And there's such a blessing when we do that. And it's such a necessity if we're going to be growing disciples to live this way. And I'll start with this, that we are created for community. This is really, really important. If you were to go back to the beginning of the Bible, right, in Genesis and the creation account, which a lot of people are familiar with, you might recall that when God goes through creating, you know, day by day, he finishes it with this repetitive theme of it is good, it is good. And so day after day, you see this progression of it is good, it is good, it is good. And then he gets to man being alone and says, it is not good for man to be alone. It's this incredible moment in creation where God stops everything. And the question that I've wrestled with is, why would God do that? I mean, is it not good for man to be alone because that's a practical thing? It's just a practical statement. We shouldn't be alone. Or is it a qualitative statement? Is God saying that he's made something that's not quite right and he's got to go back and adjust it? I think all of us know that's not the case at all. God is stopping to make a declaration of his very nature. It is not good for man to be alone because God has never been alone. For all of eternity, God has existed in perfect community and relationship within the Trinity. And since we bear his image, we are created and formed and fashioned to be communal and relational beings. So we deeply, deeply need one another. Now let me just take this a step further, see how it's so important to be open and transparent. 1 John 1:9 tells us that when we confess our sins to Christ, he is just and faithful to forgive us and purify us of all unrighteousness. That's an incredible promise that he gives us. But there's another layer to this idea of confession and openness and coming out of secrecy. It says in James 5:16 that if we confess our sins to not Christ, to one another, and pray for one another, we will find healing. You see, in the prayer closet, there is forgiveness and there is purification. But in the context of community is where we often find healing. This is the way God has set it up. The reason I think this is because we're often broken through relationships or in relationships. So God heals us through proper relationships. This is why I have found in my life that I so deeply loved Jesus. I wanted him. I wanted to serve him. I was in the Word. And these were all good things that helped. Don't get me wrong. But I felt like there was just these strongholds I couldn't get over, and I didn't understand why. And then God had to show me that I needed not just to confess to him, I needed other people where I could open up with that would walk through this with me. And the moment I began to share that and took the mask off, there was great healing that took place in my life. I'll tell you this, this is the reason why we're called Home Church. It's nice and simple, you can't forget that. But we don't meet in a home, we meet in a building. But Home Church, one of the main reasons is not just bringing the lost home, it was the relational aspect that we wanted to have, which is that a home is never perfect by any means, but typically you'll find that it's genuine. Right? If I could speak metaphorically, you come home, you take your suit and tie off, you take the makeup off, and you're real. And that's so, so important. The church of all places, we need to be a place like that, because when we share our most shameful things and then receive love in those places, that's where we receive great healing and breakthrough. So I want to go to our text for today. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to use three questions to kind of guide us in our discussion today. They're simple. They're easy. It's just to help us to get a flow to this. And the first question I want to ask is, why is it so hard? If we are created for community, if there's such great healing that comes in community, this is the way God has made it, then why is it so hard to live that way? Why is it so much easier to resort to isolation and secrecy and hiddenness? And I think if we go back to the beginning where we see sin enter in, we're actually going to see the answer to this. So if you could turn with me in your Bibles, it's page 5 in the Pew Bible. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. We're going to go back, all the way back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 through 10, and we also have it up on the screen as well. So just to give a quick background, I imagine there's probably many familiar with this, but this is we're going back to the garden with Adam and Eve, and we're going to ultimately see what is called biblically the fall of man. And what I want to just point out is right at the end of chapter 2 is a really important scripture. It says at the end that Adam, in chapter 2, verse 25, it says, Adam and Eve were naked and they knew no shame. Okay, that nakedness, it's deeper than just a physical nakedness. There was a oneness between them. There was no hiddenness. They were mentally, emotionally, I think, spiritually, every facet of the human life, there was no barriers, no divisions. But we're going to see that something changes when sin enters in. So I want to just read this starting in verse 6 of chapter 3. looking at why is it so hard to live in this open community. It says this, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So, in response, they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Verse 8, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? And verse 10 says, he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. So Adam and Eve are able to live in this openness, but when sin enters in, something changes. And the question I want to look at is, why do we often resort to hiddenness? Well, in this text, it tells us not only are they hiding from God, but there's a level of now hiding from each other. When they sinned, their eyes were open, and they realized they were naked. And as a result, there was fear and shame that entered in, and the shame caused them to hide. Now, I want to be really clear on this, because there's often misunderstandings with shame and guilt. Okay, guilt is when you have failed against a standard, against the law, if you will. It's a position. You're guilty or not guilty. But shame is the painful emotion that stems from the consciousness of being guilty. In other words, if you fail against a standard, if that's what guilt is, shame is seeing yourself as a failure. And so what happens is it begins to destroy your identity deeply because you believe these lies and things you've done, and now you're marked by this. And the problem, it doesn't stop there. It creeps into all of our relationships because we begin to walk around with these deep feelings of disgrace, humiliation, embarrassment. And here's the crazy part is that Romans 5 tells us we inherit this sinful nature of Adam, which means all of us are prone to sin, which means all of us are prone to the crippling effects of shame in our life. Each and every one of us are bombarded with the lies that if someone actually knew what was going on in our life, if we actually opened up and told people it's not as good as it looks like on the outside, I don't have it all together, actually deep down I'm really hurting, that we're so afraid that people would not want to be around us or reject us or you know, want nothing to do with us. And so I've experienced this firsthand. We live in constant fear of rejection because of all these feelings of inadequacy that come from the past stuff that we've done, all the shame from that. We feel like we don't belong. Or we live in this deep fear of disappointment that if anyone gets too close to me and finds that it's not as pretty, again, as it looks on the outside of the house or in my life, that they're not going to want to be around me anymore. And so we go into defense mode and we put up all these things that try to protect us. And here's what I found is just amazing is that the irony is we're dying inside because we've been created to need one another and be open with one another. Yet we feel like we would die if we actually shared this stuff with anyone. And so a lot of people in the church feel so stuck in that place right there. Like there's no way out. Even though they're going everything, they just feel like so alone. And the consequences are really devastating on our life. And I'm a prime example of that. And so why is it so hard? Well, sin first, but that leads to shame. And so the next question I want to ask us and to guide us is then what is our response? The second W question, what is our response? And actually, if we look at Adam and Eve, we're going to find the answer, I think. I would put it this way. I believe we go into self-preservation mode. We seek to put up walls to protect ourselves from anyone getting too close. Or if you are anything like me, you begin to put on masks to project an image of how you want people to see you. Here's the problem, though, with mask wearing is that it's so exhausting. Man, I was just so worn out from trying to prove to everyone that my life is good, and it's because all my value came from this. And so you either get extremely exhausted, or what's possibly even more devastating is that even if someone does love you, even if someone does accept you and receive you, you know deep down it's not the real you. And so it can't really penetrate deep in your heart because you know that this is a fake person that you're projecting. And we see this all the time in social media today where we put out our highlight reels of how we want people to see us. And I realize that's just part of our culture and there's a lot of good there. But sometimes we project this image and we just keep people at a distance right there. We don't want anyone to really know what's going on in our life. But as we're going to see, Jesus has made a way to live in freedom over that stuff. He's made a way for us to be so confident in what he's done for us that we can openly share because we know we're not defined by that thing anymore. And so another way to put it, it's not just the building the walls and the mask wearing. We see coverings, right? That's another way to look at it. We see coverings for ourselves that allow us to overcome all these insecurities and all these feelings of inadequacy. Anything. We look to grip and hold on to anything that would give me some sense of value, worth, identity. Like, this is my testimony. If I were to share with you, it's one big story of seeking different coverings, work, sports, you name it, trying to find anything, hold on to, and realizing it's just not enough to do it. And if you look at Adam and Eve, this is exactly what they did. Verse 7, it says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So, or therefore, their response was what? They sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. The natural response to the shame that we feel is to seek a covering that would allow us to come out of hiding. As I said, we're born into this place. Everyone is desperately seeking some way, something they can grab onto to say, man, okay, this is why this is what I'm going to build my life on here. And even when we're in Christ, we can easily resort back to looking to other things other than Jesus to find this. And I shared this morning that, again, just in my personal life, the very things that I tried to use as a covering to come out of hiding and to cover up all the shame actually led me into further shame. Because over time, what happens is it becomes an idol and gets unhealthy, and this good thing becomes an ultimate thing. And anytime a good thing becomes an ultimate thing, it becomes a bad thing in our life. And so I found this in my life all the time, and I'll give you some examples, right? If there's a person who has 100 pair of shoes and goes out and buys 101, it's not about foot fashion anymore, right? If there's someone who goes out to have a drink with a friend and goes until their day is absolutely obliterated, it's not about just having a good time with a friend anymore. If someone is continually eating food long after it tastes good, it's not about meeting a physical need anymore. And if we bounce around from one unhealthy relationship to another, even though we've been broken in the process, but we just still keep bouncing around, it's not about even looking to find a partner anymore. Or for some of us, it could be we're working 50-plus hours, yet we still feel like we're not doing enough, we don't measure up, and we need to do more. And it's not even about providing anymore. There's something deeper that's there that we're longing for that these things can't give us. And we see that in the text because when Adam and Eve put the covering on and God came, they still were hiding. They knew before the holy presence of God, this thing wasn't enough to actually cover the shame that they were feeling. And I think this is a really important point to make as well. Because you may be sitting in here as when I was learning this stuff, I was kind of thinking the same thing, that because you're sitting in here, or maybe you faithfully attend every Sunday or part of all the small groups or whatever goes on here, that, you know, this you say, well, it doesn't apply. I must be part of it. I must be part of the community. And again, this just personally what God has shown me through experience and through some scripture, that there is a major difference between living in community and actually being a part of that community. All of us live in community. We all have church community. We all have family community, job community, neighborhood communities, you name it, right? But not all of us are a part of that community. And what I mean is it's not a matter of a physical position. It is a heart position. See, in the church, of all places, I believe that we have been given the opportunity through Christ to, and we'll see this in a moment, to actually open up to one another. And that takes humility. That takes humility to entrust ourselves to other people and say, I'm willing to allow myself to be opened up to you because I know that I need this. And look, it's messy and you can get hurt along the process, but we must go for it. Jesus made it available, and it's one of the beauties of the cross of what he's done, the community that he's forming. And I believe it's my heart to see the church operate in this place of this deep, intimate, genuine, authentic community that's not just about coming in and projecting some image and then leaving after that. I believe deeply that if we were to go around and ask people, I mean, this is in the church I'm at. I know it because I sat in the church and felt the same way. That if you were to ask people, like, how do you describe your relationships? People would say, I know I'm surrounded by a lot of people, but honestly, if I could really share with you, I'm deeply lonely. Like, I feel like I'm dying inside and no one really knows what's going on in my life. And I think our culture doesn't really help too much because we have, again, social media gives us access to, I don't know who knows how many friends, thousands of friends on Facebook, of which you talk to really three of them, and we think that we have all these deep, meaningful relationships, but in honesty, we don't. And really, we're actually deeply lonely, and we've so distorted and diluted what an actual relationship looks like. And instead of having deep and meaningful and strong relationships, we wind up settling for vacant, empty, and very casual, superficial ones that we'll find that there's a deep longing inside each and every one of us for more. The ministry I worked at before I went to plant this church was called Teen Challenge. I worked in the Brooklyn campus. They're all over the place now. I think there's, I don't know, over 1,100 in over 100 plus countries. But I worked at Brooklyn Teen Challenge. That's actually where I had to go through the program myself. It's a residential program for 1 year. So you want to talk about forced community? I mean, you begin to like hate the guys in the house, right? You've got multiple bunk beds in a room. It's just not, and when you're coming out of a family, like it's just not something you want to go through. But it's amazing because even though you eat together, I mean, sleep together, work together, pray together, you do everything together, you would think that, I mean, you're in this community. But as a staff member working there, it was amazing to see that there were still some that lived there and then some that were actually a part of it. And you could always tell the difference because the level of maturity and the one that didn't entrust himself to others and really open up was always stunted. In fact, what I found was that they would even begin to despise the community because there's something inside that senses like God is using these people to iron sharpens iron, all these scriptures that talk about how God uses one another to bring things out. And so they begin to despise the community. So think about this. We desire healing, yet we are rejecting the instrument that God is using to bring that healing. The example I used this morning was, imagine if you were drinking, you love coffee. Most people love coffee. You can't love coffee and hate the coffee cup. Like, that's what gives it to you. And if we want to be growing disciples of Jesus, we can't hate community. Like, we desperately need to be with one another and be intimate with one another. And so maybe just to kind of give you an idea where you stand, just a few questions. There's so many things you could ask yourself, but I would ask you this. How many people know the specific places where you are vulnerable to temptation? Or how many people do you know that about? How many people know the responsibilities that tend to overwhelm you? How many people know the things of your past that still haunt you? Or how many people know the areas in your life where you doubt the power and goodness of God? And I think that's a big one because we say, no, I believe, but man, we all go through things where we say, I don't know if God's going to come through in this. And it's so important that we're able to come in and talk through that. We receive such breakthrough when we do. And so I want to just move to this last question. Why is it so hard? It's shame. Shame is what makes it so hard for us to open up. And all of these things we've talked about. What is our response? We seek a covering, but really it's not able to give us what we want. In fact, a lot of times it only leads us further into bondage. And so the third thing I'd ask then is where do we go from here? Like, if this is the end of the story, it's pretty depressing. It's not good. But the good news is God didn't leave us in this place. And I want to show you just in this text to leave you with a word of encouragement. Two things, and I'll share the first one quickly. It's first, God comes to Adam and Eve when they're hiding. It's the beauty of the gospel. The scriptures are littered. It's over and over of a God who crosses every boundary and every barrier to reach that one person. He crosses political boundaries, relational boundaries, religious boundaries, geographical boundaries. Jesus crossed it all to go after the one who was not even looking towards him. I mean, that is the blessing of the gospel, and that's the story of my life, and that's what my hope is in. Because even after you receive Jesus and walk with Him, we still are all prone to go into these seasons where we can begin to isolate and withdraw. And my hope is in that God always comes after me again to say, Andrew, where are you? And call me out. But here's the second thing that's so important to coming out of hiding. When I first studied this passage, I mean, I'm not talking about for this week, I'm talking about long, long ago, I've always stopped when God calls him out and begins to list the consequences of the sin, right? So maybe if you don't know this story, after God calls him out of hiding, he lists all the effects of the fall. And he goes from man, he has man and woman and the serpent. And he shares all these things. I mean, the ground is cursed. There's all these things. And I'm like, wow, that's, he calls him out of hiding to punish them. That was the end of the story. And yes, there's absolutely effects to the sin in our life. But God highlighted this one verse that so changed my perspective on this entire story and is the key to be able to come out of hiding. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, so just a few verses later, this is what it says. One verse. It says, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. The whole purpose of God calling them out of hiding was not simply to punish them, to annihilate them, to crush them, to embarrass them. He calls them out of hiding to clothe them. He does not want them to stay there. What God has for them is better, and so he calls them out and provides a covering for them. And it's right here where we see the beauty of the gospel emerging from this text. Because right here in the garden is where we see the Jewish sacrificial system being initiated that would go throughout the entire Old Testament. The Israelites would sacrifice animals to atone for the sins of the people. It was an atonement, a covering for their sins. But the beauty is it always pointed to the one who would come, the true sacrifice, the true covering, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews says that unlike the blood of the goats and the animals of the Old Testament, the blood of Christ doesn't just cover us externally, it washes us, it cleanses us, it sanctifies us, it regenerates us. In every way, the covering of Christ makes us new. Many of the prophets spoke about, but the prophet Isaiah, he spoke prophetically of this covering that would be provided in Christ that would allow us to come out from these shackles of shame in our life. He said in Isaiah 61, he says, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. All the beauty of what Jesus has done for us. Now, I want you to just lean in on this for a moment and picture this for a second. If you've ever seen a picture of Jesus being crucified, it's most always with him wearing a loincloth, right? Almost like undergarments. But as I begin to read and study more about the crucifixion was not just a means of extreme torture, it was a means of extreme humiliation. And almost every single time when you went to the cross, they would strip you bare naked to put you on there. Now for us, that may not seem like a big deal, because we have nudity all around us in our culture, but in this culture, biblical times, to be exposed before other people was so disgraceful and shameful. So I want the weight of this to sink in, the good news of Jesus Christ, that when he came here and entered into our broken world, he willfully took on our nakedness and our shame so that we could receive his robes of righteousness. So that we don't have to stay in hiding anymore. That's the result of it. We can come out because the covering of Christ replaces every label that's ever been spoken over you. The covering of Christ washes away every sin that you've ever committed. And it gives you a new birth and a new identity. That's why it's born again, a new creation. The truths of these, we can say them often in church, but we miss it. They say, you're holy. Like to grab hold of that because of Christ. You can't get any more holy than when Christ is in you. Holy, righteous, redeemed, a child of God. The greatest privilege we can have, relationship with Abba Father. All of this is found through Christ and the covering that he has provided. Therefore, we don't have to fear what other people think. Therefore, we can step out because we know now We're not identified by our past mistakes. We're not identified by our past failures anymore. We're identified by the covering of Christ so we can live now in this freedom that He has made available to us. So where do we go from here? God has made a way for us to truly step out and overcome the shame that we've experienced from sin. And I want to leave you just with two things, two calls to action here. And the first is, as a body, in light of this truth, we must be deeply committed to seeing each other in light of our new identity in Christ. So, so important, because if we don't, what will happen is we'll resort to being a performance-based community. In other words, our value and our worth will still come from how well we do. So the problem with that is I can never share when I'm not doing well, because it will make me look terrible. So I have to keep all this stuff in, which is so unhealthy. But when we rest and trust in what Jesus has done for us, it frees us to share these things. I tell the church all the time, I need to be a part of a body that when I'm experiencing deep failure in my life, that I need to be around a body that will say, Andrew, I still see Christ in you. That I can share that and they'd still speak that over me, because when love hits our shame, that's where healing takes place. When I can actually talk about this stuff and then someone loves me through it, oh man, it just begins to break chains in my life. It's the difference between behavior modification and real deep inner healing, right? We don't want to just come in and adjust our behavior for a few hours when we get around everyone. We want to experience deep inner healing, and that comes when we share our shame and someone loves us right there. Real quick, a good friend of mine, Pastor Gary Ingraham, he has a ministry now called Love and Truth Network. He's happily married, 20-plus years, 2 kids, but for the first 20-plus years of his life, he was deeply in bondage and sexual brokenness and all different types of ways, and he couldn't find any help, and the church, especially at this time, was super under-equipped to deal with this, and so they'd either just be like, you're going to be okay, or they'd shun him, and he didn't know what to do. But he, long story short, he found this church that he heard about the way they operated, this type of community that I'm talking about today, and as a result, because if he shares his testimony, it's so powerful, he moved everything and went to this church, and he went to the first men's group, and while he was there, he began to just share everything. He didn't know what happened, but he just was led to share everything. And when he's done sharing, he says that the leader of the group, it gets dead silent. So he's like, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. And it's dead silent. And he's sobbing because of all this shame. I mean, he's just been like deep in sin. He's just sobbing and sobbing. And he's uncomfortable around all these guys to begin with. And his head's down and he can only see the floor. And he says the leader of the group walks up to him while it's dead quiet, stands in front of him, and all he can see is this guy's feet, and then he sees a hand that comes down as well. And so he puts his hand out, and the guy immediately snatches him up. And he says, gives him the biggest hug, and tells him, Gary, thank you so much for sharing that, and we're so excited to walk through this with you. And he said, 20-plus years, all these chains, all these strongholds, and in that moment, like literally, he said, there was like healing and freedom that began to take place because of this. So I want to encourage all of us, I say this to my church, that we would be a body that operates this way. And the very last thing right here, the other call to action is that I want you to picture this for a moment with me. When God had Adam and Eve put on those animal skins, do you think he had them put it over their fig leaf covering? Probably not. Probably very uncomfortable. What did they have to do? They had to remove that and then receive the covering that Christ was putting on. That's the essence of the gospel, the essence of what happens in our life all the time. We have to confess and profess the insufficiency of those things we try to find coverings in, those masks we put on. We have to turn from them and then rejoice, right? Can't just remember, but rejoice in what Jesus has made available to us. And I just feel like sharing that because I'm sure there's someone in here who just needs to hear that. That God is asking you out of his love, he's calling you out of hiding, to turn from that. Man, recognize for what it is. It may be a good thing, but we've made an ultimate thing. And he says, turn from it and receive the good thing that I provided for you. So, can I pray with you guys as we close here over those two things? Father, we thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to literally be our substitution. Father, I thank you that we don't have to stay in hiding anymore. I thank you that we don't have to stay in the cave of shame anymore. God, I thank you that everything that's been spoken over us, that Jesus, you replace it with a new identity, a new covering. And I pray for everyone in this room, maybe who has yet to even ever make that decision to receive this gift that you've made available to us. I just pray that, Lord, that you would move upon their hearts to turn from whatever it is they're trusting in and look to you this morning, God. And I pray for this body. I pray for Three Village, Lord. I know it's the heart of the pastors to have community, Lord, and I thank you for that. And I just pray, God, that even today would be a marking of a new season. God, deeper intimacy, deeper transparency, Lord. I pray, God, that this would be such a beacon of hope and light to the surrounding community of what it's supposed to look like doing life together, Lord. I just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.